This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 117. And on this episode, we're talking to Amika Ryan about her successful multiple five-figure challenge. So if you've been thinking about using a challenge to launch your product or services, this episode's for you, so stay tuned. Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. What is up, Heart Hustlers? Welcome to another episode of the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. Now, I'm really excited for this episode because we've got one of my students, Amika Ryan, who has really just crushed it with scaling her challenges for her digital product, her digital course. And I'm really excited to dive into the interview. But before I do that, I wanted to let you know that we've got this awesome free training coming up in February on how to run successful challenges. So if you've been thinking about running a challenge to launch your digital course, your digital product, your online services, this is going to be a really great training because we're going to talk about why challenges are the solutions to failed launches. We're going to talk about the four sales triggers that your challenge needs to convert. And we're going to share the four-phase challenge blueprint that we use. Now, this is going to be a three-part video training series that I'll be running live. So if you want to learn more about it and save your spot, you can head over to heartsoulhustle.com/challenge. Again, that's heartsoulhustle.com/challenge and save your spot for this free three-part video training series. So with that being said, once you claimed your spot, go ahead and hit pause, grab your seat, and then come back because we are about to chat with Amika Ryan. Hey, Amika, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me here. I am super excited to be here with you today, Zach. You have no idea.
Well, I'm super excited to have you here because I've been witnessing your growth over the past 6 months or so, and it's been incredible to watch what you've done. And I've gotten the opportunity to work with you and see you do some really amazing stuff. But before we dive into the amazing stuff that you're up to, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Yeah. Hey, I'm Amika, and I help handmade craft business owners start and grow their profitable businesses online. You can find me at Shepherd Like a Girl all over the internet.
I love it. And so we had the opportunity to work together inside one of my kind of group coaching programs, and I got to witness you running a really awesome challenge multiple times. And so I'd love to just kind of turn it over to you to talk for a minute about what is your product and what did you end up doing a challenge on?
So I actually started out with no product whatsoever, and I was 9 months pregnant, and I launched a course with a 5-day challenge to my warm audience. And my audience was crafters, makers, artists, and the course is create your profitable craft business, but it didn't exist. So I pre-sold my course to my warm audience because I was super pregnant. I knew I was going to be taking time off with the baby. I needed some money like right now, but I didn't have time to make a course. So I just launched it initially to my warm audience and people bought. I had that money. I could take time off with my baby and make my course kind of as we went along.
I love that. And I think that that kind of opens up the door for us to talk about some really, really fun stuff. So we'll get into the logistics of how you ran your challenge and really even more what your challenge was about. But before we started the interview, you kind of said, you know, I really want to talk about some of the things that people think they need to have to run challenges that they ultimately don't need. So talk to us about what your concerns were going into this challenge and what you ultimately kind of realized that you didn't need to have.
Yeah, so you don't need a course. I already talked about that. You just need an outline. Like you need an idea and you need to be really clear on, you know, what you're going to deliver for your students and what that transformation for them is going to be. but you don't need to have everything. You don't need a script. You don't need everything written down. You just kind of need like a really broad outline of like A to Z, this is what they're going to get. But you don't need to get super specific because people don't even really want to know super specifically what you're going to give them. They just want to know the results that they're going to get, what they're going to accomplish, how they're going to feel. So you don't need a course. You don't even need an audience. So when I first started with my craft business, I had like these sheep come out of nowhere into my life. So I'm a shepherd and I raise sheep here in Montana. And I didn't have an audience at all in that market. I was in the fitness field before that. And really all you need is like 90 days to become an expert in your field because of the power of social media and the internet. So you don't even need an audience. You need about 90 days to position yourself as an expert, you know, with you know, the content that you're making in your field. And it's like instant, like you're an instant expert online, just like with content in 90 days, which is just crazy. So you don't even need to start with an audience at all. And then you don't really need money. So I know that sounds really crazy, but you don't need a money to, you know, run a challenge, start a business, start a course. You know, you can have tripwires and upsells with your opt-ins on your content that'll pay for your ads, which is really cool. A lot of you probably already know this, but like PayPal has this like 6 month, what is it called, PayPal credit that there's no interest as long as you pay it off in 6 months if it's over $99. So even there, like if you invest in a course, in like a system, in a plan, you don't even need to pay that money up front. You can start making money for yourself first before you even have to pay for that course or for that information with that PayPal credit option.
I love that. So you said a couple of things here that I really want to dive into. So you talked about how you didn't really have an audience when you came on the scene, but you used your content and your knowledge to kind of paint yourself as the authority figure in a really short period of time. Can you talk to me about what that process was like and kind of what you did to do that?
Yeah, so I took this actually from one of Amy Porterfield's blog posts, and it's, what was it called? 90-day pre-launch blueprint or something?
Yeah, we'll link up to that episode. It's a great episode.
And that was like when I was like, I didn't even know who Zach Spuckler was. I didn't even know like what to do on Instagram. Like I was like a total newbie. I didn't even like, I had no idea what I was doing. And I heard this podcast episode from Amy Porterfield and I downloaded her workbook and I like filled it out and she's like 90 days, you can go from zero to expert. And I'm like, hey, if Amy Porterfield says so, I mean, you know, she knows Tony Robbins. She must know what she's talking about. So I just filled out the workbook and I just, you know, I published a blog post every 10 days for 90 days. And it was like, bam, like instant expert. Like people were contacting me and, you know, it was just that easy. It was that fast.
That's awesome. So we'll link up to it, but you know, like Amika said, the gist of it is you create consistent and relevant content on an ongoing basis for people to actually engage with and start building your following. So we love content at Heart Soul Hustle. So absolutely love that. Now, the other thing you said is that you don't need a ton of money and you started talking a little bit about tripwires. And I know you've used tripwires in your business. So can you talk to us a little bit about what kind of tripwires you used and what you mean by kind of covering your ad cost?
Yeah. So like if you have never run Facebook and Instagram ads before, like they are really inexpensive. Like in terms of like return on your investment for your ad spend, like I come from a very traditional marketing background and you know, you spend like 10% of your entire marketing budget for the year on ads and you don't really expect that much of a return on them. Like you really don't. And with Facebook and Instagram ads, you can expect like, for me, it was 6 to 10x my ad spend was the revenue that I received back. So, you know, you can, if you don't have that money up front to spend on ads, which a lot of us don't starting our businesses, I know a lot of my students absolutely do not, then you can create a low cost entry product, if you will. So someone opts in for a freebie from you. So that's totally free. They give you their email address. And then for like $7, you send them a workbook or a video series, like a mini training or you know, anything like that, that would be like a no-brainer for your audience. So whatever they opted in for free, this is like the logical next step. It's $7. It's like a no big deal, no-brainer. They're definitely going to want to do it. And then once you get that sale, which is pretty, the conversion's very high, then you go into like, well, maybe they want a little bit more. So you might be able to upsell them into like a $47. So specifically what I did is I had a $27 tripwire, and that was for a mini training on turning your hobby into a business. So it was like 5 videos and a workbook on how to basically start your craft business online. And then if they purchase that, then I put another offer in front of them, and that was a tech blueprint. So a lot of my students get really hung up with the tech. It's like a very scary thing for them. So it was basically like a walkthrough. It was $47 of them just sitting over my shoulder and watching me set up their Facebook page, their Instagram account, their Shopify store, their MailChimp welcome email sequence.
I love it. So you were able to offset your costs by creating low ticket products and leveraging advertising and then organic kind of marketing to reach your audience where they already were and get them to buy low ticket products to kind of finance yourself getting started.
Right. And I didn't do this right out of the gate. These were products that I had made live, like in real time, that I packaged up later and then sold as tripwires and an upsell. So it wasn't something that I did right away, but you could definitely do it right away.
Love it. So we've talked a little bit about some kind of high level stuff. We talked a little bit about how you really don't need a ton of assets to run a challenge, including money. But one of the other things we hear a lot from people is that they don't have time for a challenge. And this is something that you said you really wanted to talk about because you are, in case people missed it, you said you were 9 months pregnant when you started. I said that I've been watching you grow over the past 6 months. So you essentially have a newborn at home.
Yeah.
You're also a shepherd, which takes up a ton of your time. So where or how, I guess, did you find the time to actually make all this happen?
Yeah, so it's crazy. My young daughter just turned 8 months old. My older daughter's 4. I have anywhere between 60 and 150 sheep that I manage by myself. And then, of course, I have a husband and dogs and life, you know, I have to eat. And so, you know, it's busy. And, you know, people all the time say, well, you know, I don't have time. I work full time, or, you know, I have animals or whatever. But, you know, we all have the same 24 hours in a day. And it's really about prioritizing and about having intention when you sit down to work. So I know that some people say, like, put it on your calendar, treat your business like a business, like block that time off in your day that you're only working on your business stuff. But, you know, that isn't reality for a lot of us, especially with young kids. Like, I got to work when the baby's sleeping, or, you know, when dad's home, and my husband works nights. So, you know, it's like, we don't see each other very often, you know, so he can't help out a whole lot, you know, with taking the baby so I can work, you know, behind my computer, which, just a side note, he has no idea what I do, like absolutely no idea. So yeah, so we all have the same 24 hours. And what I mean by, you know, you don't have to block off that time on your calendar. It's nice if you have a lifestyle that allows for that. But if you don't, it's like, just make sure that you do a little bit every single day, and it can be whenever. So like, I know the baby takes a good nap in the morning. So that's my time, my 1 or 2 hours that I get, that I sit down behind my computer. When I sit down behind my computer, I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Instagram. I'm not, like, you know, fiddling around on the back end of my website, like just, you know, trying to optimize something here or there. I like have an outline. I'm going to accomplish this today. I'm going to sit down and, you know, this is going to get done. And so it's not at the expense of my family. It's not at the expense of like my sanity. It's just having a good habit of making progress in your business each day by having intention when you actually sit down to work. And it could be for 30 minutes, it could be for 2 hours, but you can make huge things happen in just that amount of time each day.
I love that. And I think there was a really interesting episode of actually Amy's podcast where she had on a woman, Brooke Castillo, talking about how we really overestimate how much time things are going to take. And really, we fill the container of time that we have. So when you're able to work, instead of scrolling through Facebook and doing a million things, you're actually delving yourself fully into work and showing up 100% for your business.
Yeah. And knowing, like, having the confidence in myself and in, like, whatever the universe, energy, whatever you want to call it, that the important things that need to get done for me to accomplish my goals that are very clear are going to get done in the amount of time that I have. Okay. And that doesn't mean, like, I'm going to spend 10 hours on this project. Sometimes it's not. Like, sometimes stuff doesn't get done that I thought was important, but it ended up not being so important. So, for example, my last course launch, I didn't have a slide deck and my sales page was not on lead pages where I wanted it. It was on my Teachable, which Zach and I had talked about moving it over to a lead page or a better optimized site for sales. And I didn't have slides. I didn't have a great sales page. They just didn't get done. I just didn't have time. I got the stomach flu, like, in the middle of my challenge. I meant to do it. It didn't get done. It didn't matter.
Yeah, I love that. And so this is a great place to jump in for a second, because you didn't have a sales page. You didn't have slides for your pitch, but talk to us about how the challenge went over anyway.
Yeah. So I've launched my signature course 3 times now, and they were each 4 months apart. So the first time I launched, I was pregnant and the course wasn't created yet. And the second time I launched was after I had gone through the 5-figure challenge. And so that was in September. And then this third time that I launched was just in January. And it was more than a 5-figure challenge launch. It was, for me, huge. It was $20,272.
Ugh,
which was
it.
Crazy. Yeah, it was crazy. I couldn't even believe it. Just shot, just like way over at my expectations.
Yeah, because I remember us talking. I think your goal was to have your first 5-figure launch at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I mean, it's called the 5-figure challenge. So I'm like, I'm going to do 5 figures, you know. And with my second launch, after I'd gone through your program, I was just shy. I was like $9,000 and something. And I was like devastated. I mean, like, $9,000 is a lot of money. And I was really happy. But at the same time, I'm like, Zach said it was a 5-figure challenge. So, you know, to, like, more than double that, you know, on this third go around just was amazing.
I love it. And I did say that it's a 5-figure challenge, and you did it again. And that's something that's so key that I would love to just kind of get your thoughts on, is a lot of people, we see them do their first challenge and it's not always this wild, massive success. And the 5-figure challenge, which is our signature program, funnily enough, we say that when we're selling the program, we say that on our sales page, that we're not guaranteeing you 5 figures your first go around. We're guaranteeing that we know this system scales to the 5-figure mark. So talk to us about what the mindset was when you did this first challenge. It didn't hit all your expectations, but you didn't stop. You came back.
Yeah. So, you know, the first time, you know, you go through the challenge with Zach in his course, and then you just do what he says, like, put the blinders on, don't get your, like, entrepreneur creative hat on. I know we all do it. And we're like, I'm going to do it my way. But, like, really just do what he says. And, you know, once you go through it once and you start to analyze the numbers, which I know Zach is a huge numbers guy, and he's going to force you to love them too, whether you like it or not. They're really important. And you need that home base, those numbers, to analyze, to base your next challenge off of. And that's when optimization comes in and you start, like, tweaking little things, either, like, for your business or your audience, or, you know, whatever it is, or what works for you, what feels good for you. Don't do that the first time. Like, wait until you have that, like, base set of numbers, and then you can start optimizing things for what is going to work best for you.
I think that's so good. And I mean, I'm biased, but, you know, listen to Zach, do what Zach says is great advice. But I think even the deeper message that I'm taking away from this, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, but is to find a system that you're going to follow for launching your product, and then trust and use that system before you go, well, what if I did this? And what if I did that? And what about that? And what about this?
Yeah, you got to use a system that works. And, you know, Zach can tell you all of his students have had success with this, and it doesn't matter what industry you're in, as long as you have, you know, a digital kind of product that you sell, you're a coach, you have digital courses, it just works. It's not industry specific. It is the sales system that Zach has come up with that works.
Yeah, love that. So because I'm such a numbers nerd, I'd love to dive into some of the numbers. So you scaled your launches. You had your first launch, then you had your second launch where you did just over 9,000. And then you had your third launch where you did just over 20,000. Can you talk to us a little bit, like walk us through what your challenge was, what kind of numbers you got, and then anything you want to share about the challenge? I'll leave it open to you to just talk us through like what happened that you had a $20,000 launch.
Well, I think it's half numbers. And then half of it is kind of like it's other stuff. So we'll go over the numbers thing first, because that's like really concrete. And I think people can really, you know, grasp right away. So I spent $2,500 on ads. And then again, my revenue was $20,242. I think that's right. $272. And I added 14 new students to my course. I had a person inquire about private coaching with me, which was something that I didn't even think about before. So I was able to close that person for private coaching. And I added 520 new leads to my email list. So I had an earnings per lead of $30.75. And then I had a cost per lead of $4.94. So I think that, you know, that gap, that profit margin is really high. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like a $25 earning per lead there.
Yeah.
I mean, gross. Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. And one of the thing that I want to point out is your product is $1,000, $997. And I just want to link back to something you said earlier, because I think it's so key, is like you said, I come from like this traditional background where you don't expect this huge ROI on your ads. You expect to spend a lot and not get a return. And you said Facebook ads are cheap, but then you told us you're getting $5 leads, which I'm happy with. Like, we're running some campaigns where we're getting $5 leads for clients and we're happy too. But there's this mindset shift that has to happen. So talk to us about how you were like, okay, spending $5 a lead. What did you have to get past to be like, yeah, I'm willing to spend $5 for an email?
So it's super scary, like, especially if it's your first time running ads and your first time going through this, like when you start to analyze like your cost per click and then the conversions and, you know, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's $5 and there's like no money coming in yet. And you start freaking out and you're like, no, I can't spend that. Turn that off, turn that ad off, turn it off. And, you know, that's kind of like the first time you go through it and you just got to let it ride. You just got to, like, Facebook algorithm knows what it's doing. Zach has given you the strategies that you need to run successful ads. You just got to let it do its thing. And really it was for me letting go, like just letting go of the control. Like, I don't need to micromanage my ads. I don't need to be checking every 2 seconds, like my cost per click, that I know it's going to turn out okay, because I have the right system and the right strategy in place.
I love that. And the other thing is, like you said, the first time it's scary, but then the second time you had data from your previous launch to go on.
Yeah. Yeah. So then the second time, you know, because of you, because of Zach, you know, you have us go through and analyze our numbers, that you know what you can spend. So you look at, you know, that first challenge that you did, and you know the profitability, like, you know, that buffer, that space that you have, that profit margin that you have, because you know your earnings per lead, that you know what you can spend on your ads, you know, as a cost per lead to, you know, be in a comfortable profit area for you, whether you want to 5 times your ad spend or 10 times your ad spend, that's up to you, but you have those numbers. So you have a solid cutoff of, I'm not spending any more than this per lead.
I love that. Love it. It's almost like you agree with a lot of my principles and dogmas. How about that?
I wonder how that happened.
Can't imagine. So, okay. So talk to us about the other stuff. So we talked a little bit about the numbers, which I always geek out on. You had like 650 some people in the challenge. You added 500 new subscribers with Facebook ads, 500 plus. You sold 14 courses. You sold one-on-one coaching. Like, you killed it from a numbers perspective. Yeah. What
and
about
I had
the other
upsells in there and everything too? And there's so many more numbers, but I think the other stuff is really important to get to as well. And part of it has to do with, you know, the challenge philosophy. Like, you always talk about, you know, that your people coming into your challenge or they're participating in the challenge, they don't want to, you know, like climb a mountain in 5 days. They just want to like get over the next hill, you know? So I think one of the major shifts that I made, I didn't give them as much in the challenge. So I really super duper simplified the content in my challenge. So what I taught them in my $20,000 challenge was, like, to me, very basic, very, you know, we just, what we did was just planning their calendar for 2019. Like, what's your goal? What projects do you need to get there? And then let's break those projects down into tasks and get them on the calendar. Like, that's all we did. My $9,000 challenge was like, let's get your business up and running in 5 days. Like, woo, it's a marathon. Like, we're going to do it. And so I think like the major shift was with my more simple challenge, with that, you know, that planning challenge, that people were kind of probably in the same boat as me. Like, this seems very simple, Amika. Like, why are we doing this? But, you know, they're on board. They sign up. It's free. Why not? And by the end of it, they're like, wow, you were right. Like, I feel much less overwhelmed. Like, having all this on the calendar, I feel great. And so when you give them that, like what you say, like that simple win, and especially if it's a feeling that you can give them, a positive feeling, I think they're totally on board with, you know, with taking the next step with you. And I also think that challenges are more about them as a customer, as a student, getting comfortable with you as a person than anything else. I think that's the most important thing, is that you're showing up as an authentic teacher, person, like whatever your mojo is and whatever you want to get across to your students, you know, with that authenticity of who you are, what you're about, like what you can contribute to their life. Like, that's the most important thing, that they're spending those 5 days with you and they're getting to know you as a person, not you as a teacher.
Yeah, I love that. And it's one of the reasons I'm such a champion for challenges, is that you really do get to connect with your audience and build a community. Did you find that over the course of several days, you weren't just building a pool of buyers, you were actually building like a community?
Yeah, so that's another thing I noticed from my $9,000 launch to the $20,000 launch, is that my Facebook group after this $20,000 launch is still active. So after my $9,000 launch, it was like crickets, gone, done, even though I like tried to like rev in there, because I'm one of those people that kept my challenge group open, you know, as an asset for my business. Yeah. And like after the $9,000 launch, it was just crickets. And like I tried and there was just like nothing. And after this one, you know, it's easy. People are talking to each other and I just put little prompts in there every once in a while. And so I think that when I focus less on what I was teaching and more on connecting with people on an individual level during my challenge, that made all the difference.
That's so good. So you built a community, you pared down your content, which I'm such an advocate for. I've talked about this before on the show, but you don't have to give people the fire hose of content. You don't have to throw everything at them to get them to trust you. Anything else that you found from your challenge that was like a key to your success?
Getting people into either DM on Instagram or Messenger on Facebook. After every live, you know, at the end or at the beginning, I would say, you know, I'd love it if you commented, but if you're not comfortable, please message me, or, you know, on Instagram, you can DM me and where to find me. And what happened was I had a handful of people at the end of my challenge say, Amika, I just can't afford this. Like, I love what you're doing and I need this and I know I do, I just can't afford it. And my downsell, it wasn't really a downsell, but I offered a 12-month payment plan after my challenge closed. So after my course closed officially, I offered a payment plan to people who didn't buy. So I already had that in place. So all I did was say, hey, would a 12-month payment plan be something that could work for you right now? And all of them, except for one, said yes.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. And I think people, we have this perception in online marketing that we're going to throw it out there, send the email, and just convert like crazy. But sometimes doing that legwork to connect with people one-on-one can make such a massive difference.
Yeah. And especially when you're just starting out, you know, and every sale matters, you know, and you need every single sale. And, you know, and I think people just feel really seen, you know, when they can get you one-on-one and you're accessible. Yeah. But I guess I'd also add in there to make sure that you're setting good boundaries, because there's mm-hmm. always going to be people in your challenge that are going to pick your brain. So you want to say like, only my students have this access to me, but just during these 5 days, I'm going to, you know, allow you to have access to me like a paying student would.
Yeah. Love that. So as we start to wrap up, you've given us so much good information. I mean, from the numbers of your launch to how you structured it to where you find time in the day. I want you to tell us where we can find you. But before we do that, any like parting words of wisdom for people who are on the fence about maybe launching or even using a challenge to launch?
Yeah. So, you know, you need it. So if you listen to, you know, any of Zach's lives or go through one of his challenges, or you're on a webinar with him and you're saying like, yes, like this guy knows what he's talking about, I need this for my business, just do it. You know, you just have to take that leap. I think it's James Wedmore. I'm sure other people say this as well, but I hear it from James Wedmore that the transformation is in the transaction. And when you have that money, that skin in the game, you're going to show up and you're going to get it done. Because right, like just a little bit of real life here, like when you spend an amount of money that may be uncomfortable for you, you're going to do your very best. You're going to show up, you're going to get it done, and you're going to knock it out of the park. So just remember that the transformation's in the transaction, and you know, to just do it, you're going to just kill it. You're going to knock it out of the park.
Love it. Well, Amika, thank you so much for being on. Before we let you go, why don't you tell us any projects that you're working on and where we can find out more about you?
Yeah. So one of the bonuses that I offered my students this last go around with my course launch was a Pinterest for handmade craft business owners course. So I'm going through that live with my students here in February, but in March, I am going to launch that course to the public. So you can find out more about that and more about me at shepherdlikeagirl.com or shepherdlikeagirl on Instagram or Facebook.
Awesome. And we will link up to Amika, your website and your Instagram over at heartsoulhustle.com/117. Again, it's heartsoulhustle.com/117. We will link up your Instagram. We'll link up your website where people can find out more about you. And Amika, I just want to say thank you again so much for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to watch you crush it over the last several months. And it's been an even bigger honor to have you on the show. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Zach. It's been a blast.
All right. Well, I don't know about you, but I thought that was a fantastic interview. And I just wanted to recap a couple of things that Amika covered, because she talked about some really important stuff. But the one thing that stood out to me is that you don't need a ton of stuff to run a challenge. You don't need a ton of money. You don't need a massive audience. You don't need your course already created. You just need the grit and the willpower to make it happen. You know, Amika said that it really comes down to making progress with intention and prioritizing what's important to your business. You know, she's a sheep rancher, a busy mom, and yet she still found time to absolutely crush it with her 5-day challenge. And I don't know if you caught that during the interview, but during her most successful challenge, she even had the stomach flu and she still showed up and crushed it. So the question that I think Amika kind of makes us ask ourselves is, how committed are we to getting results in our business? Now, we'll have everything that we talked about, including links to Amika's stuff, over at heartsoulhustle.com/117. Again, that's heartsoulhustle.com/117. And I just want to remind you that if you enjoyed this episode and you're thinking, hey, a challenge could be right for my business, I want you to head over to heartsoulhustle.com, /challenge and grab your spot in the free 3-part training series, How to Flip Challenges into 5-Figure Launches, where we're going to talk about why challenges are the solution to failed launch efforts, the 4 sales triggers that every challenge needs to convert, and the 4-phase challenge blueprint that actually leads to sales of your products or services. So if you've been listening to this episode and you're like, I really want to crush this, I want to run my own challenges, heartsoulhustle.com/challenge. We've got a free training coming up in mid-February that you're absolutely going to love. Get yourself a seat. You're not going to regret it. And with that being said, I hope you got a ton out of this episode, and I'll see you next week for the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.